morning and welcome to another edition of Money Matters. I'm Chris Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management, filling in for John. He's down south in Florida on another vacation, and hope he's doing well and hope to see him back next weekend. Joined in studio today, though, by Mike Flaherty, also from Kingston Wealth Management. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
I was down in Florida with John for the first part of this last week and came back to some more wintry Illinois temperatures. So looks like we're starting to change seasons here. But, you know, wanted to share some thoughts that Mike and I had this week of things that are going on in the market. Part two of our show today, we're going to look at, you know, maybe ways you can, you know, prepare yourself for if we have a little bit of a correction in the market. You know, certainly have enjoyed what we've seen the last few months, even, you know, going back to November of 2016, but need to be prepared if and when things start to go the other way a little bit. So we'll touch on that. And then the last part of our show, we'll look ahead to 2018 and see what that holds as far as retirement savings, changes to some contribution limits. But Mike, you know, this morning, as we kind of look back on the week that was, any major takeaways for you?
Yeah, I think we've just seen, you know, again, continued climbing in the major indexes, a little bit of volatility in the middle of the week. But for the most part, you know, more of the same, strong earnings reports coming out. I think the stat was about 72% of the companies that have reported so far have topped expectations. So coming in with higher profits than expected. And then really, I think what you're also seeing is more and more investors dig deeper into those reports, looking at what the forward guidance is from those companies,
right?
What kind of anticipated, you know, growth numbers are they putting out? And almost when you see, I think we're in a period where the expectation is beating the expectations, right? So when you see the companies that don't do it, they're maybe punished a little harder than the companies who meet it. You know, you're not getting the reward where the individual stock takes off because it met what it said it was going to do. But if you don't meet it, it's kind of becoming a punishment right now.
Yeah, and it's always interesting to see those stocks that you mentioned or companies or sectors that take a punishment when even if they're only missing by what seems like a very small amount, a few cents here or there, can really get some of those people that set these expectations reasonable or not going the other way on certain companies. And I think that's what, you know, you mentioned, we've started to see a little volatility increase due to that. And that typically happens as we see earnings come out. But I'm glad you touched on that, because I think that and it's more that we can set expectations, guide focus for, you know, not only our clients, but folks that we talk to, that the earnings, the financials, the fundamentals of what these companies are doing is really what's driving those stock prices, much more so than outside factors that you see politically in the news, outside events that happen both here domestically and abroad. But, you know, one of those areas that's in the news that that may be impacting a little bit is kind of that continued discussion of tax reform. Are we going to get it done either this year or early next year in time to report on our taxes for 2017? And I know one of the big things that's kind of, depending on who you listen to, who you hear from, one of the main things that they're talking about in this tax plan is a change to 401ks, which, you know, gets our attention because we have a lot of clients who, you know, that is a large asset for them. What are you hearing out there, Mike, from kind of stories or myths or just some of the topics?
Yeah, I think the kind of immediate news this week was kind of the rumblings of a change to that contribution limit. So it's actually going to change next year, which we'll cover later in the show. But right now it's $18,000 a year that you can put into that employer-sponsored plan. So what the initial discussion was is that they're considering dropping that down to $2,400 a year, which would be a big change. And for a lot of people, as you mentioned, we have a lot of clients, and there's a lot of people out there. I think they said $5 trillion is what the 401ks allowed people to save for retirement. And when we talk about the retirement crisis in America and everything else, you know, having that resource to be able to put money away is really a strong benefit. But I think the last article I read said, number one, the $2,400 was really just what you were going to put away in that pre-tax account. So the rest of it would be after-tax dollars that grow similar to the Roth IRA or Roth 401k.
Mm-hmm.
So you could still put $18,000 a year away. It's just how much of it gets the tax treatment under today's traditional 401k contributions going forward. But then I think even President Trump tweeted this week of no changes to your 401k. And so there's maybe some back and forth there of, is it still being considered? Are they removing it? I think as more and more people kind of speak out against it and it becomes a little bit more of a controversial plan, you know, that starts to go away.
Well, you know, I think we've seen a lot of different ideas floated around, and I don't think anybody's sure what the final product will look like. Obviously, you know, understanding that, you know, if we're going to have this tax reform, tax reduction across the board, we've got to find a way to pay for it. It can't just be to add continually to add to the national debt. So going to have to probably make some sacrifices in there, but more on that as we get more details. Need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at our second topic of the day. Back in just 1 minute.
When I ask our moms and dads why they chose Katie's Kids, they don't hesitate to tell me that it's the low adult-to-child ratio in our classrooms. And it's the experienced and patient teachers that guide and care for their children every day. Hi, this is Katie, owner of Katie's Kids Learning Center. Our primary caregiving model ensures your child receives the one-on-one attention they want and deserve. What's important to you? Call or come in today to Katie's Kids in Normal or in Bloomington, or visit us online at katieskids.net. Developing relationships, the heart of quality care.
Have you been to Baxter's Restaurant and Chop House lately? If you haven't, you're missing one of the best dining experiences in the area. Enjoy a certified Angus beef hand-cut steak, or perhaps some of their seafood that's flown in daily, as fresh as you can get. Baxter's also features fine wines and spirits to complement their menu choices. And don't forget about daily happy hour specials and gift cards for the holidays. When you're looking for an enjoyable lunch or dinner experience, look no further than Baxter's, located on East Empire across from the airport and now open in Champaign-Urbana.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. I'm Chris Rudy with Kingston Wealth Management, joined in studio also by Mike Flaherty, Kingston Wealth Management. Mike, you know, I think we're off to a good discussion here on a chilly fall morning. But, you know, one of the things that we didn't get to in the first part that I wanted to make sure that we hit on, because I think it's timely for a lot of folks around not only our area but across the country, and that's new home sales. Saw a statistic that in September have hit a new 10-year high in that. And, you know, I think as we hear throughout the week so often a lot of the negative things that are in the news, you know, I don't know, one of the things you and I always look for were those bright spots, and, you know, new home sales, certainly one of those things that I think impacts a lot of Americans. Any takeaways you have from that?
Yeah, I think the other key to that, as you mentioned, is the, you know, 10-year high in September. But I know they also kind of talk about when the government's looking at those numbers, it's really coming off of a small sample size. So then if you kind of take a longer term picture, which if you look at year to date, it's up about 8.6% compared to the same period of last year. So not just that was September a good month, but even so far all year, those new home sales have been pretty strong. And again, that robust demand's really continuing to buoy those home builders to get more inventory out there.
Yeah, certainly. You know, that's an area that we always watch in the economy to use as a indicator of things going forward. So that's certainly strong to see that. Now, on the flip side a little bit, you know, I mentioned earlier that since November of last year, we've really seen markets predominantly only go one way. And I think you and I both know that that's not always the case going forward. You know, long term, obviously, we've seen the majority of the trend be to the positive, but with some downturn interspersed in there. And, you know, one of the things I think you and I like to do when we meet with clients who are fortunate enough to create comprehensive financial plans with is really take this time when things are as strong as they are, as positive as they have been over time, and we've seen, you know, folks all across the spectrum seen some good increases in things that they've put away for savings and investments, to just take a time to remind them that things are not always going to be that way forever, and that you don't necessarily always have to do something if and when that next turn to the downside comes. And, you know, one of the ways that we look at that is, you know, it seems very simple, but creating a budget, determining you know, your annual expenses after taxes, really kind of identifying those dollars that you need every month for mortgage, tuition, utilities, that's something that, you know, everybody, if you don't do, might want to start to take a look at least on a very broad level, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the whole kind of purpose of this analysis and what we're going to kind of walk through is the idea of how long can you withstand a market downturn where you don't have to, you know, especially, and we work with clients a lot on this as they approach that retirement income stage and they're getting ready to retire. How do we build that income over the next few decades? But how long can I withstand not pulling out of my portfolio if it's down, right? So we're not having to, during a bear market or a period like 2008, 2009, when equity valuations really drop, we're not having to pull significant amount of assets out of those resources at a period of time when they've taken a big hit. So the idea behind this whole analysis is how can we still structure that income and replace it so we can kind of plan and prepare for that volatility as opposed to trying to just to time it on the front end. Right, kind of going back to what you were talking about. I mean, I think too often, you know, right, we've been in this long bull market here.
Exactly.
Too often people look back and say, well, but if you look back at history, right, there was these 7 years and then the market fell and there was this 5 year period the market fell. So any minute now the market's gonna fall again. So I just wanna get out and do something different because it's coming. And it doesn't always work that way. So if you're not positioned correctly and not planning for it, you may miss any of that continued rise in the market. So instead, going through some of this analysis of how can we prepare for if the market does fall, we're still in a position to weather that storm and stay invested for the long term.
Yeah, I mean, all great points and ones that I echo 100% because, yeah, all too often we see people trying to make a reaction or a drastic move when, you know, if you take the steps to create a financial plan, hopefully you settle on that correct asset allocation that allows you to, you know, withstand the ups and downs of the market by still putting you in a position to kind of, you know, over the long term, get the growth that you need. But so identifying those after-tax expenses, obviously kind of a good first step. Second step would be then just to figure out where all the rest of your income is coming in from. You know, a lot of times I know in retirement, we've got some other sources of income, not just from IRA, 401k investment savings that folks use to meet those after-tax expenses. And one of those being, you know, I think for a lot of the private sector employees, Social Security. So factoring in what you're going to get if you're not already on Social Security or if you've already elected it, you know, are there those small increases here or there and beginning to add that on first. And really what we're trying to determine is what percentage after Social Security, or if you're fortunate enough to have that fixed income pension we start to, you know, we're seeing going away more than being used anymore, is determining then how much we have to have to take out of our investments. So identifying those sources of income, you know, maybe you've even got a part-time job or something to supplement your income if you're in retirement. So getting those listed is very key. You know, Mike, one of the other things that I think gets lost in this discussion is that even if you're invested, even if you own mutual funds, individual stocks, you name it, a lot of these also carry the ability, you're still going to get your dividends. And I think that's something that gets overlooked. Maybe take a second and just describe how dividends can help you weather a small downturn in the market.
Yeah. So, you know, we always look back when you think over a long period of time, the growth you see in your accounts, the percentage of that really comes from dividends, is pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about how you're invested, how you're allocated, even though you may see, well, my value of my stock, my value of my mutual fund has gone down, you may have, you know, significant dividend yields in there where if you're, you know, if it's a strong, financially strong company, you could be getting 3%, 4%, even 5% in some cases. So when you look at maybe the whole portfolio and come up with an idea of what's my true dividend yield out of that, you might be in a position where you're earning 2-2.5%, which is the equivalent of what the 10-year treasury bond is paying right now. So when you talk about, well, I could put my money in this safe, risk-free, if you will, asset, like a 10-year treasury, but if you're basically earning the same thing on a portfolio that could get you some growth too, that might be a strategy to consider as you're looking to provide additional income. Kind of adds to that last point you made of what are those fixed income sources, but maybe you have some additional income here that you can pull out in times of need.
Sure. Yeah. All good points. And the only thing I would add to that is, you know, one thing we talk about with folks who are still accumulating is reinvesting those dividends, not pulling it out and maybe using it immediately, but you're getting that opportunity to get extra shares, fractional though they may be, at a lower price. So when things are down, you're still accumulating more shares, lowering your average share price, purchase price, if you will. And then when it's time to take another step to the positive, you've got more shares that that appreciate in that. Last step, Mike, then would be to kind of compare those expenses, look at the other sources of income, and when you settle on really what you need from your investments, that we can really kind of determine what amount you may want to target for emergency savings.
Yeah. Yeah. Ideally, you know, you look at this, you may have enough income to really meet all those liquidity needs. But then if not, how do you start drawing the assets out of there to provide those supplemental income needs that you discussed? And so at the end of the day, if there is a shortfall there, that's where you can work with a financial advisor to come up with a plan to fix that and start preparing for it going forward.
Yeah. Well, all the details in there are so important, and, you know, always encourage folks to investigate how each one of these steps, if they can apply to your current situation. Need to take our last break. When we come back, we'll look ahead to 2018. Back in just 1 minute.
When is the last time your bank did something exciting? Something truly amazing. It's time you discover Bloomington Normal Community Bank, your home for amazing banking experiences.
With the Amazing Account, your checking account earns an annual percentage yield of 5.01% on up to $5,000, rewarded to you in points.
Then you can redeem these points for gift cards, travel, merchandise, even cash.
Plus, there are other ways your Amazing Account earns points, like using your debit card. So why choose ordinary when you can have something amazing?
Some conditions apply. Come see one of our amazing bankers. We have time for you. Bloomington Normal Community Bank, a division of Morton Community Bank, member FDIC.
Some of the best experiences in life are carefully planned down to the last detail to ensure their enjoyment. Retirement living is no different. If you haven't thought about your options, Westminster Village wants to remind you that now is the time to plan ahead and do your research. Westminster Village believes in celebrating life by providing excellence in senior living through a continuum of care and services. Call today to schedule a tour and see how the campus can fit into your plans for the future. It's never too early to plan ahead, so be sure to ask about waiting list opportunities as well. Westminster Village is a continuing care retirement community offering independent living, licensed assisted living, and skilled nursing care, all on its 40-acre campus in Bloomington. Ask questions and stay updated by following them on Facebook and Twitter at Westminster VLG, or visit the website at westminstervillageinc.com to schedule your campus visit.
Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm Chris Rudy with Kingston Wealth Management. Finishing up our show today, just finished up a great discussion about maybe some different ways that folks can, you know, prepare themselves for the next time that we're not seeing the market do as well as it is now. And, you know, just want to always mention to folks out there, Mike and I are always willing to sit down, answer some questions. We've had a good opportunity to meet a lot of folks here in the community that have those initial questions, and no charge for a first meeting. If you have questions for us after the show, you can reach us at 309-663-9477, or if you've got questions, prefer to email, go to our website, kingstonwealthmanagement.net. There's a link to ask some of your questions there. Always welcome. Also want to thank the sponsors of our show that are here with us every week: Bloomington Normal Community Bank, Baxter's Grill, Katie's Kids Learning Center, and Westminster Village. All great companies here in McLean County that we sure appreciate their partnership and friendship as we provide this show each week. Mike, hard to believe that the year is almost kind of coming to an end. It seems like it's gone by fast for me. But as we start to look at 2018, and you know, we see that there's going to be some changes in maybe what you can put away into some of these different retirement plans. Maybe take a minute or two and just identify some of the highlights.
Yeah, yeah. So this week, some announcements, as we kind of hit on earlier. Currently, the 401k contribution limit is $18,000. And then you have the $6,000 catch-up provision if you're over the age of 50. So that's being adjusted up slightly to $18,500.
Okay.
So instead of a total of $24,000 for those people 50 and over, you can now do $24,500. The IRA contribution numbers are still staying the same. So right now it's $5,500 a year. And then again, if you're over 50, you've got the $1,000 catch-up provision. So total of $6,500. That'll still remain the same in 2018. There is some small adjustments to those income numbers too. So when you get to, you know, how much you can put in a IRA, if you have a plan at work, some of those different numbers that come out of the tax tables of who's allowed to contribute and, you know, the Roth phase out, all of those things are just being adjusted slightly for that cost of living. But then the one other thing, I know we've talked on the show about health savings accounts, and those are getting a slight adjustment as well. So for an individual, $3,400 is the current number, and that's going up to $3,450, so $3,450. And then for the family, it's going from $6,750 to $6,900 a year. So we talk about a good way to be saving for those medical expenses, and there's a little higher adjustment now going forward in 2018.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's, you know, those are the highlights, and would encourage folks, you can search around there pretty easy and find what all those limits are and the changes. I know the IRS posts them on their website as well, but I'm glad you touched on healthcare there, because I think, you know, taxes and healthcare have been the two common themes so far this year. We'll probably carry over into next year, and I think it sounds like if you kind of read between the lines that those health savings accounts are probably going to start playing a much bigger role for individuals and their families as we try to address the increasing costs of healthcare, which I know you and I always see as a major part of people's financial plans and planning expense. Running out of time here this morning. I sure appreciate you being here with me today, Mike, and hope everybody has a good rest of the weekend. We're going to be back next week with more Money Matters. Until then, this is Chris Rudy saying thanks for listening. Money.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
Many investors are unsure about the advice they are getting from their stockbroker or their financial planner. Individual investors owe it to themselves and their families to get a second opinion on their investments from a seasoned manager. The professionals at Kingston Wealth Management will make sure investments are consistent with your investment goals, defensive, generate sufficient income and growth, and are aligned with economic market conditions. What worked for your investment 6 years ago, or even 6 months ago, just may not be working for you today. We offer you a special, comprehensive second opinion, starting with a no-cost, no-obligation review of your current situation, goals, and concerns. We'll perform a thorough review of your financial plan and investment portfolio. For more information, call us at 663-9477 to schedule your personal review. Kingston Wealth Management, financial services above and beyond.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.